Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Lara May, a clinical pharmacist specializing in functional medicine, as well as a certified yoga teacher and Reiki master. I run a truly integrative health coaching practice, encompassing functional medicine lab testing, yoga and meditation, and a sprinkling of Reiki energy medicine. Join me here on Light Body Radio to break through your health plateau and come into alignment with your natural vitality. Hello and welcome to Light Body Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Lara May. And today I have with me Dr. Dolores Fazzino. She's a trailblazing thought leader, visionary, and innovator, revolutionizing the realm of energy healing. As a renowned nurse practitioner, medical intuitive, and energy whisperer, she fearlessly combines the power of intuition and trust to facilitate profound transformations. Driven by a deep belief in the body's innate wisdom, she guides individuals on a transformative journey, empowering them to tap into their own healing potential. Prepare to be captivated by Dr. Fazzino. I'm so excited to have you here. And we were just talking a little bit before we started about how we're both, you know, from the Western medicine background, and we've ventured into this amazing medical intuitive and energy healing field. So welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lara. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, you know what? It's so nice to meet a kindred spirit or a kindred sister on this journey, because there's so many commonalities. Myself too, I still am in the clinical setting. I am an assistant surgeon, so I assist in surgery, and I've been doing that aspect of my career as a nurse practitioner probably for the last 30 years. So I've had, I was in surgery today too. So what I'm saying is that it's more than what people could physically see that mm-hmm. is happening behind the scenes. And there's so much more going on than we can see, you mm-hmm. know, because mm-hmm. it's about really embracing all those aspects of yourself that guide your wisdom and your inner knowingness. A lot of times we know things that we know and we don't know how we know them, that mm-hmm. type of thing, but mm-hmm. we just know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to trust your instincts on that, you know, be it your instincts or your intuition, your higher source, whatever that is. I call it your secret sauce, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It kind of allows you to step into your own personal power.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like that's been my calling, and I do call it a calling, as to why I was called further, I would say, like, almost deeper. You know, I feel like those of us that are called to any healing practice, which is nursing, physician, pharmacist, any of those, chiropractic, acupuncture, I do feel like it's a calling, because you have called to service to help people heal in some way, shape, or form, whatever that modality may be. And for me, through my own struggles, but then also to just seeing what we see day in and day out within the hospital realm. And, you know, this can even happen in the community as well. Mm-hmm. We see people, you know, a lot of times we call it the revolving door. And you can get very familiar with some of these patients, even in a hospital setting, which is not supposed to be that way, but that is the nature of health in America and Western world.
And I'm going to piggyback on what you're sharing here, because it's very true. Because in surgery, what I was finding probably several decades ago was that, why do people keep coming back? And this is more so the extreme cases, like you have patients who have been diagnosed with a cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, we go in, we cut the body part out, we give them chemo and radiation, and why is it they're back another 18 months, 2.5 years later with another cancer? And it's just like, well, okay, we address the physical component of what's going on, but yet it's like, it's a tip of the iceberg of the underbelly of the iceberg of like your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, whether or not you experience them or not, or what you do with them,
mm-hmm.
your connectedness to yourself and your innate wisdom that's within you, because you have everything that you need to heal yourself within yourself.
Yes.
And I know that's going to be a stretch for some people listening, but it's the absolute truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Even with, you know, like you said, you yourself are, you know, an assistant surgeon. And so that's what you're doing every day. And at times, yes, surgery is necessary, but at the same time, yeah, we are our own best healers. You know, we know what's best for us. We obviously need a team sometimes to help uncover and open up, and both physically and spiritually. But yeah, it's like following that intuition, which I think so many of us are disconnected with from a very early age.
Absolutely, because we've been led to believe that trusting your intuition is, you know, quackery. Okay. It's not the truth. But also when you look at it from a different perspective, it's about disempowering people. When you take that part out from people and they look at something outside of themselves, they're going to believe the external. But you know what? We know that there's been so much uncertainty in our world. You know, I would say it probably really started showing itself in 2008 when there was that huge financial collapse. Mm-hmm. It's like you up until 2008, you could bet your paycheck that A, B, and C and X, Y, and Z were going to happen on a regular basis. But it's like the certainty of the world shifted at that time. So it's like there's so much uncertainty and it's continued to grow and grow.
Well, and so, talk about first chakra with even like money, you know, and that, like you said, that even just the words you used, you bet your paycheck, like, and when that gets messed with, yeah, that's totally first chakra. That's, you know, everything in the lower body. And
And so the thing is like, that was like the first wake up call, I feel, to get people aware that maybe they need to look at things differently or come within themselves to start having a relationship with themselves. And, you know, of course, we lived through 2012, which was supposed to be the end of the whatever, and the polls were going to flip. The only thing that flipped was the timeline. What I mean by that, past, present, and future are no longer linear. They've collapsed on themselves. So past, present, and future are happening simultaneously.
Yes.
Right here, right now. So that happened in 2012 and it's accelerated. And then we just lived through this massive pandemic in 2019. So that was a huge wake up call and a reset, I feel, because how do we get people's attention? We have to stop the merry-go-round, or what I call the doing mobile of life, because we were in do mode constantly. And we know when you're constantly in motion and trying to make something happen, number one, you're never in your physical body, which means when you're not in your physical body, you're not in the present moment, because you have to be in your body to be in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they're in their heads, either worrying about yesterday, contemplating tomorrow, trying to figure it out, trying to make something happen, which, you know, over time, and you're continuously doing that, it increases your stress and anxiety. And when you increase your stress and anxiety, sex and anxiety, okay, stress and anxiety, what happens is like you deplete your immune system. When you deplete your immune system, you start getting sick and you start getting health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we shift that? It's about learning to connect with ourselves, be in the present moment. It's not a this or a that, it's a this and that. You need both.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if you look at an infinity sign on its side, you have the two poles of doing and being. It's always in flow. You're going to be having moments where you're in, you know, doing, but I call it divine doing and being, just getting the downloads that you need to, so you could have your life work for you. And that's the key. It's about how it's going to work for you, not the masses.
Right. And again, like taking that power back, bringing the empowerment. I feel like we're very much in this awakening and rebalancing of power. Like, absolutely. Not only like there are things going on outside of us that is a very much a rebalancing of power, but it's about a personal power with your health, personal power with your thoughts, personal power with your time, personal power with your priorities. And really, you know, while you were speaking a minute ago, I was thinking, when you said, you know, coming back into your body, I thought, well, that is like the superpower of meditation. And there's this misnomer in the Western world that meditation is about having no thoughts. No, that's not what it is. Well, meditation is about like coming back into your body
and,
like,
you know,
reconnecting.
Right. And, you know, I think mindfulness sometimes gets a bad rap because people think it's like meditation. No, mindfulness is any activity that you are participating in that you lose all sense of time. Okay. We've all had those moments where it's like, it's timeless. You know, if you ever have any doubt, look at your pets, if you have them, or look at children. They're the essence of being in the present moment. They don't worry about tomorrow or yesterday. They're right here, right now. So when we look at, you know, people who do crafts or just sit in nature, mm-hmm. or just go for a walk in nature or a walk outside or spending time with children, it's like, it's a whole different mentality where you have dropped from your head and moved into your heart space, but also when you're in your heart space, you're in your body.
Yes. You
know? So, yeah. And it could be for some people, maybe it's going to the gym. Maybe it's going for a ride in a car. I know for me, that's my go-to place. It's like, I enjoy long trips. If I have to drive 5 or 6 hours, yes, bring it on, because I don't turn the radio on. I'm fully present and in the moment. Mm-hmm. It just goes by like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it. So let's see, where do we want to go? We've already covered so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? Let's talk about, you know, since you and I are both in like a hospital setting, so to say, mm-hmm. you know, what is that like for you? Because I know for me, there's more going on than what we could see. Okay. Yeah. And I feel that from my perspective, and I'm sure we'll agree on this, is like there is definitely more going on. It's almost like sometimes we are placed in strategic situations just to be there to energetically support what's happening in the environment.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's both like within that is true for like just working with our coworkers. So whether it's fellow nurses, pharmacists, doctors, yep. and, you know, because people come to work with all of their stuff. and you know, like when your job is to like be there to help someone else heal and you're bringing all your crap with you.
Hey,
it's a fertile
playing ground. That's what I
yeah.
say. And it's like, you know, I think what a lot of people don't understand is everywhere you go, here you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just because you're at work doesn't mean you show up differently. Your stuff comes with you.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're having problems getting along with people or things are triggering you and pushing your buttons, you know, pay attention to that, because these are opportunities for you to go deeper and not be in react mode, but expand yourself, look at it from a bigger picture and say, isn't that interesting? I'm being triggered. How yeah. can I, because, you know, I think the other thing we need to remember, everything that we witness and experience, part of that's within ourselves as well too.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I think challenging situations are really good for learning. And if you're open and willing, providing self-growth. And I will say, like, I was in a very challenging work environment when I started this whole journey, working graveyards, toxic boss, you know, mm-hmm. all the different things. But I started asking the question, what is it that I'm bringing that is creating the situation. I started studying the law of attraction, which I think a lot of people were at that time and still people are, but also being a scientist and like bringing actually in the physics to the metaphysical. I was like, okay, there is something here. So what am I like, what is my energy that's creating this? And so if I created this for myself, then that means I can uncreate it and or create something new and different.
Absolutely. And so that's where the power, people don't realize what amazing manifestors and creators they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like everything that you have experienced up until this moment, and even as you were going further, talking into the next moment, you have created.
Yes, I am. I create. What a powerful mantra.
It is. And people, a lot of times, don't. I'm going to back up a little bit. I feel like people are either awake, waking up, or they're still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it kind of comes in waves. And I think we're in a big wave of people waking up because what had been working for them prior. Once you wake up, sometimes things are not, you know, it's like the illusion has been shattered and you get to see reality for what it is. And it's like what was working in the past no longer is working as you move forward. So it's about exploring, and you're in uncharted territory, the uncertainty. So how do you gain the certainty? Coming within yourself, focusing on love, appreciation, because that's going to raise your frequency and vibration. And guess what? It ripples out into the collective consciousness, right? Everything starts with us. Okay. We're witnessing a lot of turmoil in the world right now. And it really breaks my heart because I felt like we were a lot further along than we had been, but to witness what's happening, and it's not a good thing or bad thing. It's just what it is. And we will have peace on earth when everybody takes accountability for what they're putting into collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are doing it, I would say, unconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've been programmed. They, you know, because when we are born, we're pure beings. We are taught, then we learn from other people all this stuff. So we are not. We are love and, you know, high vibrating souls, but we get bogged down by all this stuff.
Yeah, we're told don't cry, don't feel, don't laugh. Children are better,
those other people.
Seen, not heard.
Right. Or it's those other people. It's just like, this is
right. They don't look like you. You need to judge them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so sad. So we're in such a ripe time, Dr. Laura, that I think there's a lot of possibilities to create an amazing, you know, future.
Yeah.
Humanity.
There, so much of what you said is resonating. I'm like, where do I go back to? And so I've been talking a lot about recently radical responsibility. And I recently read the book, I Am, I Create, which is a channeled piece. And, but at the very beginning, the source coming through this, this woman, just says, it's that simple. And because the question is, what do you mean by that? You create every thought that you have creates. So everything positive, everything negative is created by us and our thoughts and therefore our energy. And then to go back to like being, you know, healthcare practitioners, in our, you know, respective fields, in a hospital, in challenging environments. One of the things that I started doing very early on, just as a personal practice, was connecting to the light and putting up a light bubble around me before I even stepped into that hospital.
Yep.
And putting a bubble of light around the building itself and just asking that every soul, both patient and practitioner, be wrapped in a healing bubble of light, and that everyone be able to show up for their highest and greatest good.
How beautiful. You know? Yeah.
And that just helped me really not get drugged down into the muck and the drama and the politics and all the things. And so I still do that to this day. And I've had people say, you know, oh, like on the days that you work, things are so much different. Or like when you come in, like, you know, like even certain people will just like stop with their attitude. And I'm just like, okay, you know, like some people will, I can have a conversation, a dialogue with, but a lot of, you know, a lot of people, and you know, you just don't, you don't do that, but, and it's fine, you know, either way, I'm not attached to it, but.
And you know what, I could relate to what you're saying as well too, because assisting in surgery for the decades that I've done that, you know, this is the ultimate compliment coming from a surgeon. We love it when you're here. Everything seems to go much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to share a really funny story because this happened probably in June. And I live in Southern California, but I traveled back to the East Coast because I'm from Connecticut originally. And so I was visiting family, and in our family, the eldest member was my mother's sister. My aunt, my mom had passed away about 10 years ago. She was the only one left of that generation. And she was getting up there. She was like 89-ish and totally with it, as sharp as a tack. And we decided that, you know, when I was there the middle of June, that let's go out to lunch and let's bring her and some of the other cousins and bring the youngest, the newest addition to our family, which was her great-great nephew. So we were able to get pictures and we had a great time. A week later, I'm back in Southern California. I get a text from my sister at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was at one of the hospitals, and she shared with me that my aunt passed away. And I kid you not, Dr. Laura, as I'm reading this, I hear her voice in my ear saying, "Now I get to really see what you do for a living." And so she was there, and she brought her husband, who had passed away about 14 years prior. The two of them were my favorite auntie and uncles on both sides of my family. And they also brought my parents, who are also in spirit. So the four of them were in the OR observing what we were doing. But I knew what she was talking about, because the quantum aspect of it, she got to see the quantum aspect of what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, which was huge.
Yeah.
And to be able to have that validation within myself was, you know, beyond words. I mean, what a gift that she gave me to even, you know, say that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That. Yeah. So there's a lot more going on, but wait, oh, sure. There's more.
Yeah. So how do you, sort of, do you merge the two fields? Like, you know, in your life, or do you keep them separate, or how do you work with clients outside of the hospital?
How do you not have them? I mean, that's all part of you. It's not compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. So they kind of automatically merge. It's just like, I've kind of grown into the, I want to say the suit, if you want to call it that, or into the energy of that. Being in that world, it's just like, and I have a doctorate in nursing practice. I'm a nurse practitioner. So I have the credibility behind me with all the, so bridging the two together is, I have the credibility that kind of allows me to do that, mm-hmm. with a lot more ease and grace. And I feel like you do as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because when I was working on my doctorate back in the 2000s, of 2006 to 2008, I went to Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. And I looked at studying spirituality and combining it with, you know, Western medicine, basically, because nobody was really talking or doing anything with that. And it was like on the horizon that we knew that this was coming. And so it's gotten a lot better, where I think if you were to look back 30 years ago, they would have looked at you like you had three eyes. Well, we do, but
right.
We have a third eye. Yes, we do.
Yes.
So, but the thing is, they would have looked at you like you were cray cray, but mm-hmm. now it's a little more accepted. And I think what we're finding too is that, you know, so many things have accelerated processes. You know, we have quantum physics now, right? So everything is kind of going towards that realm where, you know, yes, there's a lot that has not been evidence-based or proven, but yet we know it's there. Okay. I kind of feel that.
Yeah. There's so much more though. I just listened to this whole thing from David Wilcock. If any of you out there are the type of people that like to know the science behind the woo-woo like I am, there is actually a lot going on in quantum physics that is really confirming all of the spiritual stuff that we've known for thousands and thousands of years. Like, you know, like, why is it that we can heal with light? Why is it that someone can heal themselves with thought alone? Yep. And, you know, so now we're starting to be able to understand the why behind the spiritual aspects of it.
And I'm going to add another person too. Greg Braden is another person.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who bridges the whole science with the spirituality. He's been doing that for decades as well, and his information is very in tandem with what you're discussing as well. And he's another great resource for people who are, you know, they're more people who are like yourself, who are science, they were trained with science. It kind of allows you to dovetail that a little easier, especially when it's explained in the way they explain it.
Yeah, I'm only two courses shy of a minor in philosophy for my undergrad degree. So it's always been something that I've been curious about. And, you know, even in high school when, you know, we had to do some sort of like, there was a requirement, you could either do like world religions or some sort of like ethics, philosophy, that sort of thing. I was like ethics and philosophy. Like I get enough religion on Sunday. I want to know.
Yeah, it's like religion and spirituality are two different animals. People can do. Religion is like an external demonstration of a religion, where spirituality is the internal demonstration.
Yes.
So, so it's very interesting because it's just like people always, you know, describe them as the same, and they're definitely different concepts. But
So how do you help people start to have that intern, or maybe have and trust the internal dialogue? Because I will say I teach a lot of Reiki and channeling and different things now to other practitioners, which I love. It's enriched even my own practice.
Yeah.
But there's always this, even if you're not going into the practice side of things and you're just on the beginning of path, you know, it's like, there's that, you have to learn to trust yourself again.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, you know what? I too had to work through that and learn how to trust myself, because I think we sometimes have given our power away for so long to something outside of ourselves that we second guess ourselves all the time. So, you know, in answer to your question, I find when I work with clients and I work with them one-on-one and also in groups, I've done that as well, is to get them reconnected with themselves. A guided meditation, if people are interested, they're more than welcome to go to my website. It's drdoloresfazino.com/free-video. And it's actually a guided meditation. It's about 5 to 6 minutes that I bring people into the present moment. When you're in your present moment, you're in your body. So you get to witness what that's like. And it's about grounding your energy in multiple dimensions within a short period of time. And it gets you really locked and loaded, and you'll get to feel what it's like to feel what it's like to feel when you're in your body. Okay.
So, and when you say multiple dimensions, can you expound a little bit on that?
You know what? We're living in more than one dimension. What we see here is one dimension. Sometimes, have you ever had the experience that you put your keys on the counter, you turn around, you look at the counter, and they're not there. And then you turn around again and they're there. Okay. That means that we're jumping dimensions, jumping timelines. Okay. And a lot of times we're in multiple dimensions, meaning that we are here right now, but we could be expanded someplace else and someplace else. So it's about anchoring your energy. And when it, I mean by expanding in multiple dimensions, when you are in multiple dimensions, you're expanded enough so you're able to feel like you are in multiple places at the same time. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best description. It's just like you're here, right here, but you're on the other side of the room energetically, and you might be outside the door outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you could even be looking down on Earth if you're expanded
exactly.
enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, so let's maybe move in a little bit more to some healing practices. Can we build on that?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, one thing I'm going to share with people is that healing is very simple. It's not complex. When it is complex, our ego's involved in it, because healing is such a basic thing. It's almost like flipping switches.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
So when we are in the present moment, what we need to do is work on raising our frequency and vibration. When we do that, and how we do that is focusing on the word love, appreciation, because those are high vibrating words, okay? And it's like the law of attraction. What you focus your attention on, you're going to create. Also, love is a frequency, it's an emotion, it's a vibration. It raises itself higher. I think this is a good place where I'm going to talk about Dr. Masaru Emoto. And for people who don't know who he is, he was actually a Japanese scientist who studied crystal formations of water and water. And I'm going to try to explain this as briefly as I can so people will get this, you know, without going into a long description. But Dr. Emoto would label vessels of water, like one with love, maybe one with hate. He would freeze those vessels, and then he would look at the crystal formations under a microscope. And of course, love is a high vibrating word. And when you actually superimpose that onto a vessel of water, the crystalline formations were very symmetrical and beautiful. Okay. So just in contrast, when he labeled a vessel with war or I hate you, you could imagine what those crystalline formations look like. They were probably malformed, which they were. They were discolored and they were not very, it looked like there was lower vibrating because it was low vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
So take that a step further. Okay. We as human beings, we're notorious for our self-talk, what we say to ourselves in the confines of our mind. And let's just even add to this, our bodies are at least 75% water. So this is a vessel of water you are labeling with your self-talk. So are you like beating yourself up and calling yourself ugly, or you can't stand yourself, or you're unworthy? Guess what you're labeling your container, you're labeling yourself. And that's changing your whole pathophysiology of your body chemistry.
Yeah.
Bottom line, simple thing you could do is watch your self-talk and catch yourself. If you are starting to beat yourself up, this is where the power is, knowing that this is happening, and just stop it and just say, you're going to switch it to something more positive. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and just
Those are simple things.
Yeah.
Do.
And just to piggyback off this too, you know, they meaning research, has been able to confirm that these different emotions carry a vibrational frequency. So love vibrates at 528 hertz.
Yep.
You know, shame, anger, guilt are at the very bottom. They're very low vibrating. So you get up higher, joy, gratitude. You know, so I think it was David R. Hawkins wrote a whole book on the map of consciousness and these different levels of vibration and these emotions. Yep. And, you know, that's, I think it's something really powerful that we can even, and simple, if like, you know, if we talked a little about meditation earlier, like pick a high vibrating emotion and just focus on that for 5 minutes and just watch how you feel and how that changes you.
Absolutely.
And so for sure, yeah, if you're, and I know this is, it's a practice. So like, we're not saying, you know, like this conditioning is, can be changed overnight. I mean, it can be, there are miraculous things that happen.
If you
have the powerful intention of, I am ready and willing to change now and never go back, you can do that.
Absolutely.
But for a lot of us, it takes practice. For me, it takes practice.
The thing is that I'm just going to encourage people to not give up on themselves. Take baby steps.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a journey, not a destination.
Yeah.
And it's like it's not a one and done. You're constantly evolving. You're a different person every single day. And so, you know what, you're going to have different challenges, and, you know, maybe, you know, you're going to be better apt to cope with these things because you're vibrating at a higher frequency.
Yeah.
There's more possibilities. Yeah.
And you'll notice too that, like, so let's say you're standing in the bathroom in the morning, brushing your teeth, looking in the mirror, and, you know, you might catch yourself thinking something that's not very nice. Catch yourself and flip it with something that is more loving. And it doesn't have to be something that's completely unattainable for you. It's just a little step higher. You know, like, I am so grateful that I have a body today. Yep. I'm so grateful that I have a body that can stand here and brush its teeth.
Exactly.
You know, start simple.
It's about being grateful and appreciative for what you have, because that will also raise your frequency as well. We talk about a gratitude journal. I like to do an appreciation journal because for me, appreciation vibrates higher than gratitude, and that's where I want to play. So that's my choice, and that's what I focus on. But yes, it's very important. Those little things, believe it or not, raise your frequency. When you raise your frequency, you're vibrating at a higher rate than maybe some lower stuff. So it's just like when you're vibrating at a higher frequency, the lower vibrating stuff, it's like it can't affect you because it's like a ship passing in the night. It's mm-hmm. not the same vibration. Okay. So the frequency is higher. So you're going to be attracting the higher things. I think the other thing that people need to realize too is this. Everything you ever wanted for yourself is in your energy field. It's just vibrating at a different frequency. Maybe you haven't met that relationship yet because you have to be vibrating at a certain frequency to match that. Because if you're not, if it's vibrating higher than where you're at, or it's lower than where you're at, it's going to be ships passing in the night. Maybe the other person needs to raise their vibration in order to match that. It's just like there's more things going on than people realize. So just know that if it's not happening now, doesn't mean it's a no. It means not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is just, and then just be patient and just continue to take baby steps and move in the direction.
Yeah.
When you trust your intuition, and it's like you're getting your next steps. When you raise your vibration, you're able to tap into your intuition, and you're going to be led by, I call, divine downloads.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of a sudden you get this inspiration to do something, and then you do it. And by being in divine doing, all these other doors open up. It's that simple. People think that you have to be pushing up a boulder to make something happen. And I invite you to try something different. Try this other way of doing it. Experiment with it. If you don't experiment, especially if you're a skeptic, experiment with it. If you don't try it, you don't know. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yes. Some of the other things that I like to do are like, what would it take? So what would it take for this to be easy? Mm-hmm. What would it take for this to be fun? What would it take for me to like meet someone today that'll open a new door, or, you know, like expose me to something new and different? So play around with that stuff too. Like, infuse a level of play, I think, is super important too. Life is not supposed to be serious.
Well, you know, I have this old saying that I tell people, it's just like, when we lose our sense of humor, it's over, folks. because you have to have a sense of humor to, yeah. You know, we all signed up for this to come down here, and it's just like, oh no. Yes.
Yeah. It's like yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's always definitely a reminder, like, oh, I chose to be here. Okay.
I'm like, I'm wondering what kind of Kool-Aid I drank when I was on the other side.
Holy God. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so I hope some of the things we've talked about today have, you know, have met you where you are, have sparked some interest, inspiration, curiosity, and, you know, sort of maybe even started to open up your mind about, you know, it's, I always, one of my teachers used to say, it's this or something better.
Absolutely.
You know, like, yes. Even when you're at your lowest, it's this or something better. So.
Agreed.
Yes, so many things that, and they're little things, they're simple things, they're free, they don't cost anything to, you know, be appreciative, be grateful, infuse yourself with love.
And you know what? I'm going to add another one. Just smile.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you smile, that energy touches so many people, and you have no idea that impact that that has on another person. That's probably what they needed to see today in order to trust and believe that life is good.
Yes. Even when I'm in traffic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Smile and wave.
Smile, because it's contagious. People will start smiling. It's just a fun exercise to do, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else that we haven't really talked about or brought up that you have a burning desire before we start to wrap up?
Well, you know what? I'm going to just say this. The longest relationship you're ever going to have in your life is the one you have with yourself. Start mm-hmm. making it an awesome one.
Yeah. And I will say too that, you know, I decided after I had a long relationship, it didn't end well. And it was after that one that I decided I'm going to start working, you know, like I recognize that I brought some not good things to that relationship in the end. So I owned my side of the street on that. But I also decided that I don't want my next one to be a repeat of the last one.
There you go.
I want it to be all the good things and then better and more. And so again, I decided, well, what can I change about myself? How can I show up different? You know, to make that better. And of course, again, when you're in relationship with someone else, it's a two-way street, but there is, again, that radical responsibility of owning that energy that you're bringing to whatever you're doing, even that relationship with yourself. If you are not, you know, jiving where you are right now in life, whether it's, you know, job, relationship, I don't know, all the different things that we're working on that we're constantly evolving with, then.
Or if you're not liking yourself either, it's like, it's time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like with love. And I always say this too, you know, like with love, this is not an opportunity to beat up on yourself more than we already do. Stop that right now.
Like I said, we're always good at taking care of other people. Many of us who go into healthcare, and mm-hmm. it's time to really do the same to others that we need to start taking care of ourselves in the same way.
Yeah.
Just have a lot of compassion, empathy, and just love and respect and value, because we all, you know, we all have done some stuff, let me tell you, that we are not, you know, we're ashamed of, or, you know, it's okay. It's not that we're a bad person or whatever. It's just, those were growth opportunities, and hopefully we've forgiven ourselves and moved through that and can take those nuggets of wisdom that are gold as we move forward in our life and our journey, because we're the cumulative effect of all of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually speaking with a client today, and he asked me, is what I'm going through now because I partied and did all the things when I was younger? And I said, no, I said, you haven't been drinking in this many years, and you've done all these good things. how about you try forgiving yourself and bringing that energy in and allowing your body to come back into a state of homeostasis. Our body wants to be in a state of balance. It is constantly trying with all of the things and all of the bombardment that we get all day long, both physical and energetic, to come back into homeostasis. Well, let's help it out a little.
Well, you know what? There's a part of it too, and this might be a conversation for another time. It's about our resistance, okay? Because many of us, you know, are stubborn and we have this resistance, but it's just like, it's almost like it comes to from the core, that sometimes when you make peace with that resistance and just become friends with it and heal that, whatever that is, because, you know, it could be from maybe something in this lifetime, or it could be carryover from previous lifetimes that carries over, and it just is really crying to be healed. So
yeah, I think that's, and this will lead us into how people can find you and work with you, but I think that's one of the most valuable roles for an intuitive, a coach, an intuitive coach, you know, an energy healer worker in your life. That relationship is to help you excavate and create that dialogue. Because it's, I mean, even those of us that do this, you know, as a service to the world, we also need that for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And there's only so much you can dialogue with yourself.
Yeah. And it's just like, no, it's true, because I work with people all the time, you know, for my own stuff, because you know what, I'm a lifelong learner, and it's just like, stuff constantly comes up for me. And it's just like, and the thing is, it helps me to better serve the people that I work with as well, because I'm, you know, I'm constantly working it as well too. I mean, it's just, it's a lifelong journey. So, what I do want to touch on, you know, is that if people are interested, is I do have a TV podcast and radio show. It's called The Dr. Dolores Show. It's on Inspired Choices Network. And we go live every Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. But it's also available on over 450 platforms internationally.
Oh, cool.
So it gets blown out to everywhere. And it just so happens that we're like 80, like close to 80 episodes in. And we're going to be talking about grief and the grieving process in our next episode. And, you know, I think, you know, this, we're in our fall season, so to say. And it's just like, that brings up a lot of like going deep, a deep dive. And grief is a real interesting thing. So, you know, if anybody's interested, I invite them to go check that out, because how often we are grieving and, you know, it's such a broad topic, but you know, there's so many components to it. You know, grieving the loss of something, either a job, a relationship, or a person that is passed on, or a pet, or anything like that. And also dealing with people who are grieving, because sometimes we're afraid to, you know, talk to them, or we don't know what to say to them, and you know what we want to hear from them too, and stuff like that. So there's so many parts of that, and then just, you know, healthy grieving and stuff like that. And it's a process. Yeah.
Again, like learning to be gentle with yourself. And
absolutely. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that topic. That was actually suggested by several people, because I'd say I think it's time to talk about that, because I think like the elephant in the room sometimes.
So you have a website?
I do, and it's called drdoloresfazzino.com, and there's lots of information there, and people, you know, resources and stuff like that where they could go to and get, you know, more information. And that's where the guided meditation is, to be in the present moment, is located, and that's free, so people could go and just download that.
Okay, cool. And then are you on the socials?
I'm on the socials. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Insta. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Twitter, or X, that they call X. It now.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Toro.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, all the socials. So.
Okay. And then how many books have you written?
I have 5 books. And
5 books, wow.
The last one is Your Amazing Itty Bitty Healing in Ways You Never Thought Possible, 15 Key Steps to Manifesting True Health and Lasting Wellness. And that's available on Amazon. That's the latest one. But all my other books are there as well, too.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you, Dr. Fazzino, for your time and your energy. Sure. It's been wonderful. I think we should keep in touch. And
oh, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Well, everybody, definitely check out her website. I will have all of everything she mentioned on my show notes page, which is drlaramay.com/podcast. So check out this episode if you want links to anything. And of course, you can Google anything she said as well. Cool. So tune into her show, especially if you're going through the grief process. I'm sure that can be, it'll be, you know, powerful and supportive. And so I think it's a much needed topic to be covered.
Thank you.
So, yes, thank you. All right, everybody, we'll catch you on the next episode.